This is Duncan McKenzie. You're listening to Lee Williams.
The tears you cried now seem in vain. The faces that you knew, they just don't seem the same. You wonder where you're going, what you gonna do now? Don't look at me, I'm in the same coup as you now. Cindy, where are the songs that we hear? Where's the silence we once knew? Funny how quickly a boy turns his head to wonder what a man's got to do. Another day, another time, and I may see the sunshine gleaming from your eyes. I heard tomorrow never comes, so the lesson for today is don't be surprised when you're let down. Funny how quickly a boy turns his head to wonder what a man's got to do. Cindy, we need you.
I'm out and about, and Duncan McKenzie, one of my new sort of found guitarist friends, singer-songwriter, and he's got a very good story to tell. So let's talk to Duncan. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me, and nice to talk to you, Lee.
Yeah, because I mean, this is a country show, but you do more than just country. So let's go back over the time, because probably people will remember you when you were with Big Jim Sullivan, the
yes.
guitar player.
Yeah, that was a big part of my musical life, was 10 years on the road with Big Jim, who was an absolute guitar legend. It was like an apprenticeship. What I learned from him, you know, mentally as well as the techniques of playing and everything else, it was phenomenal. And it also led me to play alongside some of the other best guitarists in the world, and then get accepted by them, and it was all rubbing off. And
well, we've been talking, and you've been telling me about quite a few of the guitarists that you've played with, met with, and actually record with, which is wonderful.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like with my band. I've got the drummer from Van Morrison, Bob Dylan. Played with everybody. The squeeze bass player. just, I mean, the fiddle player has played with all the big names, and we all get together and have a really, really good tight band sound, and we're just about to make an album together, which I'm really pleased about.
So do you record just your own songs?
More or less, yeah. I am going to do a few others, but for the album, it's all original. It's going to be original stuff. And I've got all the songs, and I'm going to re-record a few of them as well to get a whole atmosphere around all of them. So, it's very much geared at the country market now. I've experienced so many different styles, but that's the one where I sit very, very comfortably.
Well, I think it comes a time in your life with playing, even most of them are going to Nashville to record now, a lot of the rock stars, because it's a market that's spread from just the old traditional style country.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a lot of the people that I know and really respect are living there or have been there regularly, and so I'm making my trip there in July, which I'm so looking forward to, and I'm going to look up old friends, and I'm being introduced to some very, very important people.
Because after all this time, this is your first trip?
I've never been to the States. I mean, I've been virtually everywhere else, but I've never been there, and it's like the place that I obviously should do, because some of the American singer-songwriters, well, you know, they're ultimate, aren't they, you know, so I'm really looking forward to it. It's something I've always meant to have done.
Well, let's take a break for some music, and one of the songs which you told me to watch the video, and it's on your current album, it's called The Traveller. You're going to re-record it. Tell me about that, because it's very much in the today's Americana singer-songwriter style.
Yeah, it's one of those songs that it's got a bit of a the way it was born was even very special, because I was working on another song for the album, the last album I was making, and this one just came out of the ether at me, and I found myself talking to it saying, can you wait, because I'm trying to be disciplined here, I'll do you later, and it wouldn't go away. So there I am talking to this potential song, and I said, okay, we'll do you now. And it took 10 minutes, and when I listened to it, it says everything I really mean. It's totally and utterly sincere. And I think the melodies are strong on it too, so I can't wait to hear that really get somewhere now. This is Duncan McKenzie, you're listening to Lee Williams.
Many years I've been a sailor, sailed across the seven seas. All this time I've been a searching for the place that I should be. Many years I've been a traveler, traveled far and distant miles. I've seen some sights, I could tell you many tales that make you smile. But there's nothing really matters, and there's nowhere I could be that compares to you, my darling, and the love you've given me. In my life, I've been a wanderer, over mountains to the sea. But the one thing I remember is you always walked with me. Restless through this land, the truth I could not see, the answer not round some corner, but sitting inside of me. There'll be no map there to guide you. There'll be no compass, straight and true, just a traveler and a journey. The destination's up to you. There is nothing really matters, and there's nowhere I should be that compares to you, my darling, and the love you've given me. In my life I've been a wanderer, over mountains to the sea, but the one thing I remember is you always walked with me. In my life I've been a wanderer, over mountains to the sea, but the one thing I remember is you always walked with me. You always walked with me.
Traveller by our special guest, Duncan McKenzie. What was your early influences and how did you start doing what you're doing?
I had a surprise when I was 12. My dad bought me a guitar and I had a book that went with it, which was Bert Whedon's Play in a Day.
I knew Bert. He was a great guy. Interviewed him a few times. Wonderful guy.
Great. Well, Big Jim knew him very well. And Big Jim said that they did a session together. And Bert said to Jim, "You're not going to be doing all those twiddly bits, are you?" I remember that. I think I learned to play Jingle Bells from that to start with, or Bobby Shafto or something like
Didn't
that.
Didn't they used to play a Burns guitar or something?
Yes, yeah. Oh, he's a lovely, lovely player, beautiful feel. And I think the more experience I've got, because I played live all over, it's when you get a guitarist that can play three or four notes that really get to you emotionally. Another guitarist could play those same notes and you think they're tuning up, and I think it all comes down to the feel, and you can only do that once you've got a big toolbox of experience and hard work behind you. You know, it's a fascinating subject. The older I get, the more fascinating it is.
So when you got the guitar, you started learning it with your Playing a Day book from Bert Whedon. So when what's the next stage? What happened? Did you start getting into a band?
But the local band thing, where really it doesn't teach you a great deal except for getting in front of people. And then I started getting serious, so I studied more and more and more. And then in my very early 20s, I started lessons with someone who I still think is one of the finest guitarists of all time, and that's Robert Fripp, who was in a band called King Crimson. Great man, soft Dorset spoken man, and he taught me the real... When I went to him, he said, "Now, this is the first thing I'd like you to do, Duncan." And I said, "Oh, and what's that?" He said, "When you leave here, I don't play for 3 weeks." I said, "Oh, I wasn't expecting that." And he said, no, he said, you're beginning to accumulate a lot of things that will actually hinder you if you want to go all the way to the top. So I want you to get those out of the system and we'll start again." And thank God I saw that man when I did. And to go from him, I've met some of the absolute greats, I'm delighted to say, and they're nothing but inspirational, decent people, in my opinion and from my experience. But then 10 years with Big Jim, you really start thinking, hey, this is a different ballgame.
How did you meet Jim?
We lived fairly close together. He was doing a few local gigs, and I literally just phoned him up and said, do you fancy doing a couple of gigs? And he said, oh, pop round. So I went round, and it worked. And we went off, and bang, that was it. You know, from one thing to the other, festivals, guitar festivals all over Europe, playing to thousands of people, and just went on and on and on. And poor Jim, he died about 5 years ago. Miss him still, but I still, when I'm on the stage, I still feel he's with me, because he used to look at me and I look at him and he'd say, relax, because my tensions were building, and then you relax and your energy just flows out that way, you know.
So were you doing vocals as well as guitar playing?
Yeah, I was the guitarist and the singer. What I did go on to, going back after the Bob Fripp thing, I became a session musician, a session guitarist, and I was great experience. I was playing in places like Abbey Road Studios and all sorts of other events like that, and that again added to my experience. But it's just an onward thing. I've learnt more in the last 5 years than the previous 15. But they're such subtleties, it's almost impossible. It's like if I'm trying to re-remember a complicated piece of guitar music and my mind won't remember it, I keep thinking, oh God, what do I do here? What's the next bit? What's this? What's that? I can't remember. I think, oh yes, I remember. Finger memory. So mind switches off, hand remembers it. So where does that all come from?
Amazing. Well, let's have another break for some more music. Pick me another song from this album, Ordinary Man.
Yes. Well, I'll give you this one because it's I'm very, very lucky to be given a lot of support by Les Reed, the very famous songwriter. And this is one of the songs he really, really likes. He's been marvellous. He's given me so much confidence. It's called Undying Devotion. And it's just got a good melody, a good feel, and, you know, it's a song that I think is nice, relaxing, says what it needs to say.
Let's hear it.
This is Duncan McKenzie. You're listening to Lee Williams.
Shine from that window in the place we used to be, swearing our devotion and making plans we'd never see. And as I glance up at that window, wondering who lives there. Are they laying the foundation for the life, for the life, for the life they hope to share? Undying devotion. It's so hard to say goodbye now. Is your fire burning still? Undying devotion. The fool never will. Is the hole in your soul mending? Is your light shining still, babe? Well, many years have passed since then. I find myself, I'm broken again. I just kept that flame a flicker. shadows down below. Just a solitary figure. What's to know, what's to know, what's to know, what's to know, what's to know. Fool on a hill. It's so hard to say goodbye now. Is your fire burning still? I'm dying devotion.
With our special guest Duncan McKenzie, guitarist, singer and songwriter. Let's talk about being a guitarist. So what's your favourite, electric or acoustic?
It's acoustic. I've got three handmade ones by a chap called Alan Arnold. One of them is a totally legitimate 40-year-old Brazilian rosewood, and it just rings like a bell. You know, it's just got its own reverb and everything else. But acoustic, I love. I absolutely love. I love electric, but I've not really gone down that route enough, and I know some absolutely fine players, so I always bring an electric guitarist in because they come from another area. There's a chap I work with quite a bit now, Jay Stapley. So totally marvellous. He's got great taste with what he does, and he makes a strong song. He doesn't get in the way of it. It's not like doing a lead break over everything, which
some guitarists can get a bit busy. I think it's what's not played is what really counts.
Well, yeah, it absolutely is what you leave out. And the thing is I think that the more experienced and tasteful a musician gets, the more they listen to the others. It's not all a matter of, here's a gap, I'll fill this up and show how clever I am. It's a matter of making everything feel great as a whole. I mean, the guys that I work with, they're all hugely experienced. And it's funny because on the stage we pick up every little nuance. You know, there's a complete volume control on the drums, everything as far as everyone's listening. Sit us around a table afterwards and we're discussing it. None of us can hear anything. What did he say? Pardon?
Yeah.
But it's just listening. Not an opportunity for, oh, here we go then.
Because sometimes you listen to records and you can just hear one or two notes that really make that song.
Yes.
You know, if they were doing loads of notes, it wouldn't have the effect.
Oh, no, it's complete taste. You know, there are things that, and they stick in your mind, don't they?
I remember interviewing, I can't think of the guy's name now, but he was the guitarist that did all Lionel Richie's lead breaks and everything, and I did a two-hour interview with him. It was just amazing. Him and Glenn Campbell used to do it together.
Because of course Glenn Campbell was a supreme guitarist.
Yeah.
Jim used to really rate him highly. It's interesting actually, because one of the guitarists that Jim rated perhaps more than most was Martin Taylor. Mm-hmm. Who is and I had the opportunity of doing a gig, and it was, there was Jim, Martin Taylor and myself, and I doing one of my songs, and it was and I thought, ooh, this is all right. And do you know, there was, I'll never forget it, it was a samba, and it was quite a complex little construction in the song, one of my songs, And anyone I've ever played with before who's jamming that song with me, of course, they're staring at my left hand to see what my chords are doing, because, you know, as soon as that bit's over, it's going somewhere else. I always remember with Martin Taylor, he just stared at me in the eyes for about, I don't know whether it was a second or 10 seconds or whatever, with a big smile on his face. And then suddenly he burst as if this kinetic energy was coming out. And he knew the song as if he'd always played it. You see, this is where it's, to me, I'm not being all sort of, but to me, it's a very spiritual thing when it gets to levels where it gets through to people's hearts and soul, and that's what music's about for me.
Well, that's definitely what music is, and that's what why memories come from it, because you always remember a song that'll put you straight where it was.
Oh yeah, you take music out of films, what you're left with, yeah. You know, it's sort of really, really.
Because a lot of your music is used in films.
Yes, because now I'm very proud to say I've teamed up with Ray Williams. He absolutely loves the songs, and he's got a site where he's got a lot of mine being pushed, and he's going to be getting them into some rather splendid films. They haven't happened yet, but it's on the way. I know it is. And with Ray, well, just to give you an idea, he discovered Elton John and put him together with Bernie Taupin, and then managed Jerry Rafferty, Jeff Lynne. He really knows what he's doing, that man. He's such a great person too.
Brilliant. So with your live dates, do you do many live dates in the UK?
Yeah, loads. It varies hugely. It goes from clubs, concerts. And then there's the bread and butter stuff, which is a realistic side to a jobbing musician, and that is, you know, pubs and things like that. But I only play in ones where you've got a really, really good music clientele, and the owners of the places are sympathetic. Because, you know, one of Big Jim's favourite sayings was, familiarity breeds contempt.
Well, that's true. I agree with you that.
I mean, there's a lovely place, a couple of lovely places in a beautiful town in Sussex called Arundel. I'm so fond of it. And there's one venue, which is the Red Lion. Chris is the manager. He's a really decent bloke with a lot of respect, and he runs a good venue. And then there's another one, St Mary's Gate. And then another one, the King's Arms. I mean, they're just really lovely. But, you know, they're not huge, and it's not all superstardom and everything else. It's down-to-earth stuff, keeps you grounded. But then on the other hand, I do lots in Italy and just come back from Switzerland, where I've just done 5 gigs to 5,000 people a night, you know. So it's a good mixture.
So where can people find out where you are playing? Have you got a website with these dates on?
Yes, I have, and it's a lot of information on there of all sorts, and it's www.duncanmckenzie.com, and McKenzie is McKenzie.
There you go, Duncan. Well, thank you so much for talking to us, and we're going to go out with another song. If you'd like to pick one more song from the album, and we'll feature that in the programme, and wish you well, and enjoy your trip to Nashville.
Well, thank you so much. If I may, because I got a lot of response from this recently, there's a Celtic instrumental track called Jiggery Pokery, and if you wouldn't mind, that would be, I'd quite like you to hear that, just purely because of response that came through last week.
There we go, here we go. Duncan, thank you.
Thanks, Lee, very much. Thank you. And I look forward to seeing you in Nashville. This is Duncan McKenzie. You're listening to Lee Williams.